Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Spite Electric smart home products make everyday living simply smarter. Add color to your home's exterior with LED outdoor string lights. They're perfect for holidays or get-togethers, and they can be scheduled to automatically turn on or off. View our entire selection of Fight Electric smart home products today on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for other great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the D Word Podcast, where we talk dementia. Welcome along to another edition of the D-Word Podcast. Good to have your company once again. Now, the places we've been and the people we've met all form part of our memories, as do the objects we encounter along the way. On this edition, my guest is Sandra Leckie, who discovered how powerful those memories can be when she took a bundle of objects from her house into a residential home she was working at. The reaction gave Sandra the idea to form Remember When in her native Belfast. Sandra, welcome to the D Word. Great to have you here as my guest. Founder of Remember When. I guess we better start at the beginning. I mean, how did Remember When all come about?
So about 12 years ago, I was unemployed, and my friend asked me to go into a care home to help to get residents ready for the day. And I was working 3 or 4 days from 8 in the morning till 2. And I was actually told off because I was taking too long getting people ready and finding out their life stories. And they kept asking for me to get them up. And I thought, I'm onto something here. These people are lonely. They want to chat. So I asked, could I do some activities with them? And I volunteered to take an activity. I think the care staff thought it was mad, but I brought in a lot of old objects from the house and set them on two large tables. And I asked the lovely care staff, would they bring the residents in on wheelchairs? And they put them all around the tables. And one lady immediately lifted a riding hat and put it on her head and told me she used to have a horse. And another man lifted a really old golf club and told me he played golf. And then that started a conversation. And so I think the care people thought that our staff thought I would be, I think, overwhelmed, and a lot of them would want to go to the bathroom and whatever. But no one wanted to go to the bathroom for a whole hour. And I found out so much about those 15 residents on that particular morning. I still have the photographs. And some of their grandchildren arrived and wanted to know what happened, and were quite fascinated by seeing objects like a washboard and things from the past. And because my objects were authentic, I thought, I'm onto something with the whole sensory experience and the touch. I learned about Norton motorbikes that day. I never heard of a Norton motorbike. I also learned they were uncomfortable if you were the passenger. They weren't really, you know, the seat wasn't that well upholstered. So I actually, at the end of the session, I said to the manager, would she put a group, a couple of people together? Three were farmers, two played golf, two ladies were interested in sewing. And all of a sudden there was connection. These residents were telling me their story, so they were empowered. I wasn't heckled at all. It was really quite interesting. And I think then I realised that a lot of people were just watching television, sitting, just waiting for someone to enter, and just seemed to be really lonely and quiet and bored out of their head. And these objects and music and whatever. So I sort of developed that and then trained with Reminiscence NI, and just knew I was onto something to trigger conversations. with people, and that's exactly where it's happened. So whether it be music or pets or animals, or I think the most important thing is they have got to be really interested in the, it's got to be their story. It's not about me. There's no point in me talking about music if people don't like music, or dogs if they hated dogs. So once they start to talk and you ask the open questions, and they go back in time, and a lot of their memories are way back to the school books. So school reminiscence is a fantastic way to start. I've even met people who've used the slate or green linoleum, and so my history lesson has been incredible for the last 10 years. I mean, I'm learning from people who actually have lived this story, and I found out so many different things. And if I don't understand something, I Google it. And they're fascinated by Google as well. So yeah, so do one-to-one and groups. And I go down to Donaghadee and visit Lady, and she's not really talking much, but she loves, well, she did love to walk up until recently, and we would walk along the sea, and she just would grab my arm and smile and hum, So everybody's different, everybody's unique, and reminiscence therapy can be as unique as them. So
Yeah,
I've had, really enjoyed it.
absolutely. It sounds like you really enjoy it, and I'm sure you bring a lot of joy to the people you're involved with. And I guess the other thing is, we talk a lot now about person-centered care, but in order to
Yeah.
have person-centered care, you have to know the person. And
Absolutely.
reminiscence, the kind of work you're doing really opens people up.
I one lady I had a I was up in a group where after COVID people were very isolated, and they thought, Sandra, could we try this to see if we can bring people out of their rooms, down to the community hall. And there were more men in this, which was fabulous. But I brought things like lots of old LPs in, and items from a linen industry and a bottling industry, and some of these people actually worked in the linen industry, so their stories were absolutely incredible. Another lady's husband was worked in the Miami show band, and she had her mini skirt, which there's no way I was even going to fit into it. She actually brought in her mini skirt that she had when she was a young lady in the 60s. And another lady told me she got her first washboard. Now, I'm not talking washing machine, I'm talking the wooden board with the sunlight soap here, in 1951 as a wedding present. And I've recorded, and then I was able to send that to her family. And so these people have talked to their family over the years, but sometimes when you're involved in family, you're not actually listening the same way, so oh, that's that same old story or whatever. But when they connect with their own peers and whatever, I had a washboard like that, and oh, where did you live? And all of a sudden, a whole story unravels. So it's amazing. Yeah, I've worked with lots of academics, people that have written books. Another lady was sitting tapping her fingers, and I put her beside a piano, and she could, if I could sing, she could play it. So Abide With Me, she played it. Patsy Cline played it, and the staff didn't even know this, but she was just tapping her fingers all the time. And the next thing, started to play the piano, which was incredible, and also a form of entertainment for the other residents. Yeah, so some of my experiences have been incredible, but it's all been triggered by the objects and the people who have had the connection to the object, or the animal, or the music,
Sure, yeah. I mean, members of the family must learn stuff about their own loved ones that didn't know.
I think one of my most amazing findings was I brought my pet dog Frank when he was just a puppy into a care home, and there was an elderly man who put his lead on him, and this man had been sort of shuffling, not walking very straight. And it turned out that he had four or five dogs. So we did a quick risk assessment, and they said, well, Sandra, it's up to you. And I said, well, I go out with him. And he put the dog's called Frank, so we put the lead on it. He immediately stood upright, not bent over, upright. He was in charge of the dog. He was taking the dog to the walk, and he was going to train this pup. And we walked outside, and I videoed him, and the difference before he went out and when he came back was unbelievable. Sent that video to his family, and they started to bring a family dog in. and he put the lead on and walked. And the difference with his shoulders, his stance was incredible. And then we found out he was quite a good dancer. So when the music on, his whole position then changed with dancing. So music and dogs were his triggers. Sometimes it's a language. I was lucky enough to do French and Spanish at Queen's, and one lady wasn't speaking, and it turned out in her head she was back in Paris being an air stewardess, and she was speaking in French. So I tried some French, and I learned about her travels, when she was a young lady and an air stewardess, which was a long time ago. So some incredible stories. Doesn't always work, but usually nine times out of 10 it does. Something comes up, or even to why are you showing me all these objects? And then, oh, my mum used to have one of these, or I had one of these, or what do you use this for? So I think it just engages and empowers. You learn a lot about the person that you're with, and I have a lot of respect for that generation that are in their 80s and 90s, because they've gone through the Second World War, if they've been in Northern Ireland, our troubles, and they have seen a lot and sacrificed so much more than we have.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
On this edition of the podcast, I'm talking about the power of reminiscence with Sandra Leckie from Remember When. You know, it's an amazing thing, isn't it? You just open up from one old object and suddenly the whole world opens up. I mean, you know, despite recent advances, drugs are still a way away. And these kind of non-pharmacological interventions are becoming more recognised, and people are actually waking up to the fact that instead of having a tablet, you know, you might want to show someone a beat of Linen or play them a Beatles record or whatever.
Yeah, because if you keep taking tablets that subdue you, then they stay in your system, and then the next day you're tireder than you were the day before. And as we get older, we're not drinking enough water and things, particularly in care homes. So we're not flushing that out of our system. It's staying in our system. And people would say to me, I feel really muddled. Why do I feel muddled? And it's not just living with dementia. It's the fact that they're tired. I mean, sometimes I go into a care home every Monday and, half of them are asleep at 10:30, and it's a lot to try and get them engaged and, So it may be something in that case, like using music and using the old celebrities like Bob Monkhouse and Max Bygraves and playing their music and Frank Sinatra and of course Elvis, and then they start to sing the words, and you know, some people have actually met these stars, or Glenn Miller. And there's a man I reminisce with who's from England, and he, some of the stories, he actually danced in the Strictly Ballroom in Blackpool, you know, and other people that served, you know, their war years driving a tank. So to ask the question, what's it like to be inside a tank in the middle of the war? And because their long-term memory is superb, you know, that's empowered. They know what they're talking about, because they don't know what they've had for breakfast, or they've maybe forgotten, but they certainly have those long-term memories. I sometimes think, you know, the stories are a bit like your bookcase. They don't know what today's newspaper is, but they can remember the nursery rhymes and the skipping songs and all those tunes from years ago. So my life is full of stories, yeah, very much so.
Yeah, I can remember when I was managing an activity group, and one of our group members told me about the day that World War II broke out. He was 7 years of age and his mum owned a shop. And he said, I came downstairs and all I could see was a sea of legs, because the shop was full of people trying to get provisions in because the war had started. And that was the day war broke out. And that was, you know, that's an amazing memory to share those kind of things. I guess the only other thing, you do have to be, I suppose, a little bit careful in the, you talked about the troubles in Northern Ireland, you talked about world wars, and that you don't open up some memories that maybe are best left there.
Yes, and sometimes I remember one situation talking about school, and a lady was bullied at school, but because she was living with dementia, the filter had gone, so she wanted to talk about it, and everybody was sort of shocked by you know, that she had brought in a small packed lunch every day, and this other girl used to eat it, you know, and then she was going home starving, and her mummy couldn't understand why she was so hungry. And it's quite interesting to see that sadly some of the trends are still there. There were bullies away back then, you know, and still today. But she was delighted to talk about it, you know. Sometimes some of the stories that you unravel are very sensitive. And I find if that's happened in a group, the group are very sensitive to it, and very, very respectful. And sometimes the family didn't even know, and therefore it gives them another dimension to the family. I've never had anybody in tears, and I've never had anybody tell me anything that I would, you know, have to report to police or anything. So I've been blessed in that way. And usually it's more laughter and what they get up to school and what pranks and who set fire to what, you know. One chap brought in worms in his pocket and put them in the old-fashioned inkwells. And after the children had written beautiful lines and gone out to play, when they came back, these worms had crawled out of the inkwells and smudged all this lovely, lovely writing. And the teacher, one boy was laughing, and all the little girls and boys were horrified at the mess. And so she smacked him. The cane comes in quite a lot in those days. And he laughed. The harder she smacked him, the more he laughed. And it turned out that Johnny had a couple of books down his backside, so that she was actually smacking the book, and she hadn't twigged on. So some of the school reminiscence is exceptional, you know, maybe no school uniforms. And another one that was very poignant when you were talking about the war was a man only met his father when he was 5 years of age, because he had been born when his father had gone away, and they didn't even know if the father was coming back. You know, the mail and all the communications was very, very poor. So he just said, Sandra, I met my dad when I was 5 years of age. And I found that very emotional, you know, and it was, he's an amazing man. I still reminisce with him, and some of the stories are just exceptional, you know.
Yeah, it's so rewarding. I can remember one of our group members said, oh, yeah, I used to play football. And so I bought an old football annual in, and from the late 50s. And he started flicking through the pages and stopped at Brian Clough, who's the old Forest manager, England international, looked at me and said, I marked him six times and he never scored against me. And it's the first time anybody had ever known that he used to play for Leighton Orient here in England. And like you said, it was all the other people in the book, suddenly all the other people in the group, rather, all looked round and wanted to ask questions. Oh, you did that, you did that. And it just got everybody going.
Yeah, because I mean, we have a character in Belfast, I'm sure, and it was called Buck Alec. And a lady said to me, oh, he used to be in Sailor Town and he had a lion, and the lion ate all the kittens. And I said, no, Claire, I'm going to tell you the lion didn't eat the kittens because the lion had no teeth. And she said, but how do you know that? It's because I reminisced with the man who lived next door to him, and his father lived next door, and he used to give the lion fish because the lion had no teeth. And these are another man who gave, it was called Silver McKee, who was one of these hard men that they used to fight, and then they had a pint and shook. And he was, I said, why was he called Silver McKee? Because he used to rattle the silver in his pocket. So some of these people that you read on the old stories in the Belfast Forum, the people I'm reminiscing with actually knew them. Rindy Monaghan, used to train in a field where somebody else was a very famous boxer. And of course, George Best, somebody that actually talent scouted George Best, and I've got the old football cards, my garage is such a mess. People would say, oh my goodness, why have you got all this junk? But everything triggers something, and it's incredible. Even war stuff, school stuff and old shop tilled and a mangle, all those items people remember seeing. But it's the physical, it's because they're actually authentic. They are the actual objects, the old sweet tins, are genuine. And I've even learned what the fox's bear was called, Pepe, by reading the tin. So.
Yeah, it's first of all, Sandra, it's not junk, it's treasure. So
Yeah, precious
we'll stick
memories.
with that. Precious memories,
Oh.
definitely. I mean, you've done some stuff with school children as well, haven't you? And that kind of
Yes.
intergenerational mix must
Yeah,
be
it's just
amazing.
brilliant. And I certainly, when with the young girls' brigade, that were only maybe 5, 6 years of age, they talked about their grandmothers forgetting things. And we used a Christmas tree and lights, and just said sometimes all the lights come on, and people are very lucid, and sometimes the lights dims, and these lights don't work around the bottom. But that doesn't mean that, they're still your grandmother, but they just don't remember the same way, you do. And some of the children are amazing, and they're fascinated by the old telephone. They can't work this out, because, and then they show people, they say, look, our phone, we can shop on it and we can book cinema tickets. And they, one lady said, we used to get into the cinema with glass jam jars. We recycled the glass jam jars. And for two, a large one and a small one, you got to see a Western for nothing. And if you think back of the recycling of that generation, leaving the milk bottles outside, the bread men coming to your house, the lemonade men, the rag and bone men, the ice cream van. One man said they were a family of 12, and when they heard the ice cream man, his father said, well, that means they've run out of ice cream because they didn't have enough money to buy 12 ice creams. So some of the stories are amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I guess electric vehicles were commonplace when the milk float came around as well.
Yeah.
So it was all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and swinging around a lamppost because they didn't have a lot of toys,
Yeah.
and playing with the marbles. I just have to bring out a big jar of marbles, and everybody tells me how good they were at marbles. And of course, you could put all these wee things in your blazer pocket or your school jumper pocket, so you could bring these into school to play with. Or two balls, we played two ball against the wall, and the skipping rope. So one there was also different policemen. One man policeman used to always cut the rope when they were swinging round a lamp, and that was because cars were starting to come in, so the child could be swinging out and maybe a car would hit them. But this other person said daddy worked in the rope Belfast rope factory, so he got a new rope every day. So, there's lots of stories, and different areas have different stories. Obviously, you've got the rural reminiscence, people that lived in the country, walked to school, had all those rural chores. And had plenty of food during the war because they were their eggs from their chickens and they grew their vegetables. And then you have the ones from the city that, you know, literally did use the ration books and learned about D1s and D2s and got their 2 ounces of sweets. And if you were a child during the war, boiled sweets were a good thing to get because you could sneak them in. If you got a bar of chocolate and you had 5 or 6 brothers, that was gone. Didn't last or it melted. So boiled sweets was good because you could make those last a bit longer, you know. So yeah, I've learned a lot actually.
Yeah, it's an audio history lesson, I think, all of this. I mean, it lends itself to a book, a podcast or something to to make sure all these stories remain.
I've recorded lots of them, but I normally just send them to the family, you know. And also silk stockings recently. I've got a pair of silk stockings and they apparently cost 12 shillings and sixpence. And one lady, well, not this morning, but yesterday, told me that that's what she paid for her first pair of really good silk stockings. And she was very, you know, careful with them. And they just go through. And then the fashion, the old costume jewellery, the headscarves, the basket, because they didn't have big fridge freezers. So they shopped every day. And they went, and there were so many little shops. And before I got into all this, I used to work for Morris Confectionery. So I was used to hearing stories in all those news agents because we used to call into 25 news agents a day. And there were always people in the shops talking, you know, about local people and local things that were happening. So really, I think they were the hub of activity way back then, and then the first supermarkets came in the 70s, which changed quite a lot of the way we shop, and obviously refrigeration. So yeah, and televisions. I mean, you used to get up to turn. You only had a few channels, and the television only came on about 5 o'clock, and now it's 24/7.
Yeah, that's a story with that was I was the remote control, so
That's right. That's
I
very
had
much.
to turn the TV over. So
Yeah.
I get it's interesting. I mean, obviously you've got community there in Northern Ireland, and do you talk to people around the world about this? Because it's it goes
Yeah.
everywhere, doesn't it?
Yes. Yeah, so obviously, when I went over to Liverpool, and they have a completely different history because so many people came over to help during the war, and you know, when you go around the museums, and they do lots of memory issues. And then obviously, I've been in Australia, and on LinkedIn, which is a good platform, you can hear so much, and obviously just tip into the world. But everybody has childhood memories, you know, so we all had a childhood, whether it's been a happy one or not. And everybody connects with the place or something from school. But usually when I go into a group situation, it would be school. And, you know, I talk about where did you go to school? And you may find, even in a care home in Belfast, that someone went to school in England, someone went to school in Bahrain, someone went to school in Canada or America, and different people came home for different reasons. Yeah, so and a lot of the people in the care home don't know about the other people because they get together to listen to music or to watch a magician, but they're not actually talking to each other. You know, and that generation are very much used to talking, although some of the generation of children were seen and not heard, you know.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If you've got a story to tell and would like to join me here on the D Word, just drop an email to tdwradio@gmail.com. Back to my guest now, Sandra Leckie from Remember When.
And you still got the mischief where they were going out to dances, and there was no drink in any of these dances, and they were the ballrooms of romance. And in some of the areas, the priest would have, you know, kept the stick between them. you know, so they couldn't get too close. I just fascinated by their lifestyle and the make do and mend and how little stuff they had. They didn't have a wardrobe full of clothes. They weren't selling them on Vinted. They were ripping out a jumper and re-knitting it for someone smaller in the family, or it was, you know, first up, best dressed, they used to say. And a lot of unprocessed food, a lot of homemade stuff. One man, a beautiful story recently, again, the chap from Blackpool, where he didn't see his first egg until his uncle boiled him an egg because he was so used to dried eggs during the war, the big tins. And that came because I had a big tin of these dried eggs. And he said, I remember those. And then he said, I'll tell you the story of my first ever boiled egg. I said to my uncle, what's that? And he said, it's your breakfast, son. I said, well, what do you do with it? He said, well, I'll show you. And he said the difference was incredible. A Cub Scout who was in the organization had his first packet of crisps because they were camping and they were asked to put their uniforms on and come and serve at a very large house and serve the dignitaries, the crisps. And at the end, they were allowed to taste crisps. And he remembers his first crisp. Banana, the first ever banana. A chap watched another fellow eat it and he gave him the skin, you know, because the bananas weren't coming in during the war, they were rationed. And people really can remember their first taste of a banana, or a piece of chocolate or something like that. One lady made her wedding dress out of a parachute because it was silk, you know. It was some great history.
Incredible, incredible stories. Really great work you do. And also, I've got to mention, of course, the Innovation and Excellence Awards. You
Thank
were Dementia Service Therapy of the Year 2024. Now, we don't do any of this for the glory or the shiny
I
stuff.
didn't even
But
know
it's,
it nominated.
it's nice to be recognised, though, isn't it?
Last year and this year I got the two, and it's lovely because I didn't even know. I think they just look at maybe social media and ask people different stories, and it was lovely just to get a surprise email and would you connect and ring me and get that. I don't do it for the glory. I actually do it because I love it, you know.
That comes across loud and clear, I think, to everybody listening. I mean, just down a slightly controversial alley, but obviously, when someone goes and gets a diagnosis of dementia, nine times out of ten, I think, in the UK, they're pushed down the medical route, and it suddenly all becomes a medical thing. Whereas what you're talking about, and what I talk to a lot of people about, is all these social interactions, reminiscent, etc., are every bit as important. But sometimes I feel that the medical people don't take them as seriously as they should be.
I think I agree with you there. I think my first opening was everybody's bored in this care home, and it didn't seem so personal care happening, but I didn't see social and mental care. And then I asked to take people out, and one lady who was 100, I took her out every day, you know, just for 10, 15 minutes. And that's when I got her stories because she wasn't a person who wanted to talk in group. But she was amazing one-to-one, and her father had worked in the Titanic. You know, if I hadn't have brought her out, I wouldn't have known. And then I really bonded with her and was able to share stories with her family. And but you know, the sad thing is they do drug people, and that's where this muddled thing comes from, or to keep them quiet, or say they're frustrated. And a lot of people just want to walk, you know, they want to keep active. Their lifestyle has been they've walked, you know, to shops, and they've walked to the ice skating rink, and they've danced, and they have not been sedentary. They have been off the couch, not on it. There wasn't the same television then, and there was, you know, large families. So sometimes just getting into fresh air for mental health. So particularly with the lady every week, we just go outside, weather permitting, and if not, this lovely care home is like a big igloo thing. And we go into it and look at things. And it's just to physically come out of that nursing home environment to get the fresh air to see the world as it is in the color, not the artificial light, and to get a bit of energy, from nature, even if it's just planting pot, planting is a great thing, or making flower arranging, things that they can, sensory things that they can physically do, baking. One lady, I gave her two loaves and she just buttered them all just make ham sandwiches. That was a very cheap activity, it certainly was 5 or 6 years ago with a couple of loaves. But the way she buttered the bread, she had obviously been making sandwiches for schools and churches. She was amazing, and large families. And it's just giving people a purpose, even to fold a napkin. Just you don't want them just to sit, because the sad thing is then when you put a paintbrush in their hand, they go to feed themselves with it. Because the main joy when they're at that stage is just food. And it's that movement. And if people then think, oh, they're not eating, and they start to feed them, then they don't even feed themselves. And they forget that. They forget actually how to feed themselves. It's, dementia will rob us all from that eventually, but there's so many, there's over 102 different types of dementia. And people can live very, very well with it. My mum had Alzheimer's, and she was at home until she ended up in hospital, and then 3 nights in the care home. But her neighbour, Donald, used to come in, and because he grew up in the same part of the world, they used to reminisce about all the names of the roads and the characters and the townlands and her early life in Dungannon. And he learned a lot more about the area he grew up in, and he was able to share. And every week my mum used to look so forward to Donald coming in for a Tuesday chat. It was wonderful to listen to their reminiscence, because they both had Dungannon in common, which was fabulous,
I guess, it's all about finding the key to unlock the lock, which leads you to the person inside. And I think, we remember when you're doing a brilliant job with that. Sadly, time is bringing us to a close, but it's been fascinating. I love the stories. We'll have to get you back on to tell us some more. But for now, anyway, thank you so much for being my guest.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's been lovely to chat to you, lovely man. Thank you.
Thanks to Sandra. It's amazing how much you can achieve by using objects we've all taken for granted at one stage, and can reveal some really great stories. Do take a look at the website rememberwhenltd.co.uk. Well, that's all we have time for on this edition. Hope you'll join me again soon for some more Dementia Talk right here on the D Word Podcast.